For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Snap by Ferguson, hold by Martin, kick by Bass is long enough, and it is good! Bobs away for Tyler Bass, who bobs it from 61! It's a career best for the Bills kicker, unbelievable!
That'll be our play of the game. The Bills win on Tyler Bass's 61-yarder. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Bills beat the Dolphins. Just saw Mike Gennetti of SpotTrac mentioning a certain name. Calais Campbell, defensive end, Dolphins. If they wanted to trade him, he's a veteran. $605,000 is all the acquiring team would have to acquire. Not a lot of dead cap. He is 38. He has two sacks and a forced fumble. Team captain, would the Dolphins trade Calais Campbell to the Bills? Maybe that's unlikely, but if they're going to start selling off some pieces, he's a name that would be getting interest. Maybe Detroit?
Yeah.
For Aiden Hutchinson's absence?
If they start selling off pieces also, I don't think this would be for the Bills, but I saw that Tyreek Hill would cost a new team $1.2 million.
A lot of dead cap for Miami probably, right? They just redid his deal.
I think for this year, yes, but then otherwise, I think it's manageable. I think I saw that it's both sides can do it if they wanted to do it. Which, hey, they're 2-6, and he's 30 years old. I mean, what's their plan here? They're not going to start over, but they're going to sell off some pieces. I think they have a lot of veterans.
Stat for you here, and then right to your calls. There are 9 2-win teams right now. Last year,
all tied for the. Is that the worst? Is there a 1-win team? I think 2's last then.
Okay. Last year there were 5 2-win teams at this point. Right now there are 9 2-win teams in the NFL.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So there's no one. They're all 2-7 or 2-6.
Okay.
So there's like a 9-way tie almost for the first overall pick.
Six of the 9 are in the AFC: Patriots, Jaguars, Browns, Raiders, Dolphins, Titans, all 6.
I mean, every one of them should be selling.
Yeah. Ed in Orlando is up. Hey, Ed, good morning.
Hey, good morning. A little historical context. In 1973, when my dad took me to Rich Stadium and John Leipold kicked a 52-yard field goal, my dad was raving like, oh, my God, a 52-yard field goal. That is amazing. I go, but, Dad, he had a 25-mile-an-hour wind on his back as he was kicking toward the tunnel. And since that point, I always noted that if you're going to kick a long field goal in that stadium, you always have to kick it toward the tunnel. And what Tyler Bass did yesterday, kicking toward the close end of the stadium, I can't remember or know of a kick over 50 or 55 yards toward that side of the stadium. Everybody knows that if you're kicking in Buffalo at Orchard Park, you always have to kick toward the tunnel and always had the win, hopefully, in the fourth quarter because it was that important. But since it was a picture-perfect day yesterday, kicking toward that end of the stadium when he lined up to kick a 61-yarder, and I'm down here in Florida, and I'm arguing with the Dolphin fans down here and watching it, that kick go through, that was probably the most perfect field goal kick I ever seen. Going down the middle, probably could have made it from 65, 66 yards easily. And what he did in a historical aspect in that stadium was unprecedented. So hats off to Tyler Bass. I hope that he keeps his head clean and, you know, that he can think about making a, you know, simple extra point for the rest of the rest of the season. Because, you know, from my standpoint, I've seen a lot of kicks in that stadium and I can't remember anything being kicked that long going from right to left on your TV screen, because it does not happen.
Thanks,
Ed. So, guys, have a great victory Monday.
Very good. Thanks, Ed. Thanks for that historical context. Yeah, Bass, I mean, where I was sitting, so I was sitting on the side, and it's one of the unique experiences about being at the game. You know, if you are watching at home, they do the camera behind the kicker. So you get to see, is this on track from the start? When you're on the side, what do? I look to the people that are sitting behind the goalpost. And if their arms go up, all right, it went through. You know, you got to look to the officials. So, but man, that ball was in the air forever. There's a nice feeling of if he misses it, it's probably overtime. I know, like Sal pointed out, there are 5 seconds left, but I don't know what Miami's best plan is from there. They could try to run a 4-second play, and if the Bills had backed all the way off and given him 10 yards and they call a timeout, then we're probably having a conversation about that. But whatever. Credit to Tyler Bass. It's a great moment for him.
Is it, I'm looking now, is it the longest kick in that stadium's history? Can we remember a 60-plus yarder against them?
What did Nick Folk hit in the Monday nighter? Was that not 60? It might have been like 53.
Ooh, I don't know if that was that long.
That's a good question.
I'm looking now. I think it might be the longest kick in the stadium's history.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe. I'll try to find that. I see a 56-yarder that was kicked against them. A 57-yarder. So yeah, I'll find out. But that might be right. That might be the longest kick that's ever happened in that stadium.
Mike in Pennsylvania up next. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy Victory Monday. I just keep pounding the table to get more touches by Ray Davis. To me, he just fits the offensive game plan a little bit more. He doesn't seem to drop passes. And I think it's the big passes that Cook drops. They look like they can go for touchdowns or are very close to being touchdowns, whether it's last year or this year. And then correct me if I'm wrong, but to me, Ray Davis looks like a clone of Ray Rice. Every time I see him run, I think of Ray Rice. I'd like to see him actually get the start over Cook, but that's my opinion. So I would like to hear what you guys got to say about that.
I don't need him to start over Cook. Is he kind of good at everything, though? He looks pretty fast.
Yep.
He's physical. He can catch the football. He did that in college, too, by the way, and we're seeing it happen this year. I'm not rushing him into he's got to play over James Cook, but he is a part. I think he should be a part of this offense, which I think he is. You know, a couple plays a game, he gets a snap. Yeah, he's been very impressive. Somebody that I would think like in a year we're going to be. I don't need to pay James Cook because I'll just put Ray Davis in there. He'll be fine.
DJ in Lockport next. Hey, DJ.
Hey, good morning, guys. Can you hear me? Okay, hopefully. But
you're good.
Well, first off, with the Bass kick, I love the idea that play clock was running down. He just jumps on the field, ball's hiked, and he kicks it. As it was happening, I'm thinking, this is good. Don't think about it. Just boot that thing, and it's going to go through. And sure enough, obviously it did. But my call is about Poyer. I do not remember him being such a headhunter for the Bills, but I'm pretty sure last time we played them, he went
pretty hard. Shakir.
Cade. Shakir, okay. I don't know what it was, whether he's got an axe to grind with his team or what, but he's pretty blatantly going after guys pretty hard most plays, if you think about it. But, you know, two specific plays he's gotten penalties on. But I just don't remember him being like that for the Bills. Maybe I'm watching the team that he's doing it for, so yeah. I didn't think anything of it. But I just wanted to see what your guys' opinions were about that. So I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, DJ. I think one of the consensus opinions is he's not as fast as he used to be. And he's not as sharp as he used to be. And in the past, he would have been there to maybe make that play. And now that you're not there, you're a half step slower.
You blast the guy.
Your option is to hit the guy. Instead of getting there to get the ball, you have to hit the man. And he defended his hit. He said it was clean. I saw Ryan Talbot post a piece about how Poyer was defending that hit to his teammates, that it was a clean hit.
It was not a clean hit. Right?
No, I mean,
crown of the helmet to the chin. Like, yeah. I mean, that is a textbook. Well, I went on helmet that one. To helmet, lead with your head hit.
Tough personal foul call on Taylor Rapp for his lowering the helmet.
Oh, that was a ridiculous
call.
He
got trucked.
I thought Rasul Douglas was adamant on the field, and I think Douglas was right that that penalty should have been at Mostert.
Yes,
Mostert lowered the crown of his helmet into Taylor Rapp. I wouldn't be surprised if Mostert gets fined this week.
That's the kind of play that there was a year, right? Am I remembering correctly? There was a year where they said we're going to penalize ball carriers, and everyone got mad, and they stopped doing it.
Yeah, they did it for like a year.
But I thought that was going to be your once a year the running back is hit for. Yeah. Unnecessary roughness. The idea that Rapp, I mean, when he got up, I was impressed. Yeah. But, man, to call him for a personal foul there.
His head was up.
Yeah.
His head was up. Mostert's head was down, and he was the one initiating the helmet contact. I'm not kidding. I really think Mostert could get fined this week. He should. How is it? Did you see Joe Andreessen got fined for a play last week on the kickoff? Watch that play. That is, it's almost the same thing Mostert does, but it's just kind of, it's almost more incidental. And he got fined later that week. Mostert is purposely lowering his helmet into the defender. I don't know how, if you're going to fine defenders all around the league for those types of hits, how you would not at least fine Raheem Mostert for that.
803-0550.
Really should have given him a penalty.
Jeremy and Joe, it's Victory Monday. More of your calls. We'll keep rolling here. Maybe talk a little trade deadline stuff. The deadline's tomorrow. Calais Campbell's like the best name I've got so far. Cheap.
Yeah, I like it.
But would Miami do it? You're a Dolphins fan. Can you envision sending the Bills help?
The Browns lost again.
Myles Garrett's not getting traded.
No?
No.
No chance?
No. Not if you have a brain.
Well, they might not.
They might not. 803-0550 is our phone number. It's Victory Monday. Chiefs play tonight. Go Bucks.
Pitch play to the right to Mostert, looking for an opening, and now hits the hole, and he's through it. And it's another 9 yards. Fumble on the play, though, and it's picked up by Buffalo at the 36-yard line. It's Buffalo football.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.